The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down, and they paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Epiphany is one of those days in the life of the church where we may know it's important, but we might not be able to explain why. Well, it's the night we undecorate the church. Well, no, there's more to it than that. And Epiphany, it means a sudden insight. And the Greek roots of the word are about an appearance, a revelation, a display. Something that was hidden is now seen. What was covered in darkness now shines out with light. And so on this night, this festival of the Epiphany of our Lord, we celebrate the revealing of Jesus, the unveiling of Jesus to the Gentiles as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Wise men come and they bring gifts that are not only expensive, but also richly symbolic. Gold for a king. Incense for a priest, and myrrh, the burial spice, not foretold in the prophecy, but given for a child who is born to die for humanity's sins. And so on this night, Jesus is shown forth by these wise men's testimony as Lord, as High Priest, and as sacrifice. Now, more important than the what is the to whom. See, this epiphany, it doesn't happen to the religious insiders. It doesn't happen to the people who show up on Epiphany night. It shows up to the outsiders, the Gentiles, the unclean, the people who wouldn't even think of coming to church on a Tuesday night. The people who had for thousands of years been clearly and completely excluded from the roll call of God's chosen people. But here they are, with their gifts of worship accepted by God come in the flesh. Now, it wouldn't take until the book of Acts and the letters of Paul for Christians to really figure out what this means, that the Gentiles are now allowed in. And frankly, to this day, the church is still figuring out all of what it means. But this is truly a bright light, a sudden flash of God's glory into the darkness of a divided world. But now here's the thing. See, sometimes even the brightest illumination still casts shadows. And in tonight's gospel reading, the shadow is cast by King Herod. He hears from these wise men that a king has been born, and he is terrified. Matthew tells us he is frightened along with all of Jerusalem. Now, why? Well, Herod doesn't want competition. He's the king. He doesn't want to lose his power. But what about all of Jerusalem? Why would they be scared? I mean, Herod was not exactly a model ruler. Yeah, I mean, he initiated a lot of building programs, a lot of like big public works, kind of shovel-ready type things. But he was a puppet of the Roman Empire. He was cruel, he was vindictive. He didn't respect, even though he was a Jew, he didn't respect the laws of the Jews. So you could think that Jerusalem might start to get its hopes up. A new king is coming. He might even be the promised Messiah. But isn't it true that the status quo always feels safer? You know, the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And besides, who wants to get caught between two rivals for the throne, especially when one of them is backed by Roman legions? Now, Israel had been down that road before, and Israel would go down that road again, and it led only to destruction. Now, the part of the story that isn't told in tonight's reading is the consequence of all that fear. You might know the festival of the Holy Innocents. See, the wise men are warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, but the tyrant still has to do something about this potential threat. And so he gives orders. Safe in his own palace, that every male child in Bethlehem, young enough to have been born under the sign of that star, is to be killed. Mary and Joseph, warned in a dream, escape just in time with Jesus to Egypt. That's the price of human fear. That's the cost of Herod's cowardice and pride and jealousy and rage. And here's the bitter pill for us to swallow. That shadow that is cast, when all is said and done, that shadow is an epiphany itself. It's a revelation of the very human condition of all of our hearts. Now, I want to be very clear here tonight. I am not saying that anyone here is planning or is even capable of the slaughter of the holy innocents like Herod was. But that's the extreme that shows the truth. Because let's face it, if we're honest, when our fear gets revved up, when something we have or we want might get taken away from us, when we feel pushed into the unknown, we don't always react in the best possible way, do we? When we feel threatened or accused, we don't always just take it in stride. Or let me make it more specific here. In those situations, I certainly do not always keep a song in my heart, a smile on my face, and kind words coming out of my mouth. And I hope that you all are better at it than I am, but I suspect I'm not the only one in the house tonight with some room to grow in this matter. See, the shadow in all this epiphany light is that we human beings, we don't only act irrationally when it comes to our fear and our pride and our self-preservation. We act irrationally regardless of the cost to others. Think for a moment of what we have justified as a nation in the name of national security. Closer to home. We've just come out of the holiday season, and I think all of us have had to deal with at least one relative who will get their way no matter what, no matter whose nose gets out of joint. Or maybe we are that relative. See, when we feel threatened or afraid or challenged, we get defensive. We go into that fight, flight, or freeze mode. Clear thinking, compassion fades away. And all those things that we know in our better moments, like gentleness, patience, listening, understanding, forgiving, when you're white knuckling it, those are really hard to do. Now, we don't end up pulling a Herod, sending soldiers to kill innocents, but sometimes we do wreck relationships, ignore the very real needs of others, and walk all over the feelings of others. From a little family squabble to a marriage breakup to national politics, anyone see that at work here? To international economics, it gets played out again and again and again. The Herod that is in each of us feels threatened. The Jerusalemite in us feels afraid, and bad things. Often bad things that none of us would have ever planned or intended happen. That's why we need Epiphany. See, here the light is revealed, not just the shadow. On this holy day, Jesus is revealed. A humble, tiny, helpless baby is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He brings in a new kingdom. As our high priest, he gives us a whole new relationship with God. And anointed with myrrh, he will be buried along with all of our sins. In that child, all our anger and our pride and our fear, they find forgiveness. In Jesus, our need for compassion and peace is fulfilled. In Jesus, we have the epiphany that God has come in vulnerability, in humility, in peace, to redeem us from our fear and our defensiveness and our anger, and to give us a future of promise that nothing can take away from us. Jesus is a new way for us. A new way out of our fear, out of our pride, out of our anger. I love the last line of Matthew's Epiphany story. The wise men go home by another way. There are two ways now. The peaceful, loving, forgiving way of Christ, and the worldly way of Herod. Now, just as a little foretaste, in the coming Sundays, we're going to be talking a lot about conflict. We're going to be taking a lot of looks at what happens when we human beings, with all of our inner Herods and inner Jerusalemites, collide with each other. But here's where it all starts. Two ways. The way of fear and anger. The way of faith and vulnerability. Which way will we walk? As we have seen the Christ child at his coming, will we leave By the same old way? Or the new way? Walk in the light of Christ. And no matter what the world sends your way, you will know peace. Amen.